This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What a way to wrap up the week. In sports, goodness, that's enough to make your head spin. On this Thursday afternoon into a Thursday evening, morphing into a Thursday night. Total insanity, sports style, going way back, to say October or so, a couple times a year, a couple months during the year in a typical year, I would use the hashtag sports never stop over and over again, because in October, in April, that's how I feel. Sports never stop. Well, in August of 2020, I'm feeling the same way. It's a lot to keep up with. It's a good thing you have our show. Thanks for joining us. Our last show of the work week. It's going to be a doozy. We've got so much to talk about, from the NBA and the playoff bracket nearly set to Damian Lillard and the Blazers following through on what he called the most important game of their lives, to sudden death and late drama in the Stanley Cup postseason, both Toronto and Edmonton, to a new height for one Mookie Betts. It's cool to see him thrive with the Dodgers. I can imagine having his new contract has made a big difference. To Zach Plesac blaming others for the situation he got himself into in Chicago. Oh, yes, it's always the media's fault. Always. To Joe Kelly, maybe you've heard him like this before, maybe you'll hear him like this again, but classic. I will admit to being a terrible person and laughing out loud at Joe Kelly's comments on his teammates podcast. It's called the Big Swing Podcast, and it absolutely gives you everything you ever wanted to know about his situation, his skirmish with the Houston Astros. And I dare say there will be many fans who will feel the same as Joe Kelly and who will appreciate him, I guess, when you've got suspension, you've got time on your hands. And he's more than willing to share his emotions. And then we've got some football to mix in as well. In the NFL, practices are starting all over the country, and it's not yet a full week since the Big Ten and Pac-12 canceled their college football seasons. There are still emotions running high and questions unanswered. It's been a tumultuous few days. And we will welcome former Ohio State linebacker, former national champion, Joshua Perry. He's now with the Big Ten Network, so he's spent a lot of time sharing his emotions and his reactions to what's happened around college football. So I'll ask him if the Big Ten made the right call and what he thinks about spring football, among other things. So we're excited to welcome him to the show next hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I'd love to hear from you, whether it's about the NBA, whether it's about the Stanley Cup postseason, football too, Major League Baseball. As I say, this is an August unlike any other. Hashtag sports never stop. I was saying to my mom earlier on Thursday how exhausting this week is. And it feels the same as last week, too. I was worn out by the time we got to the end of the week. It's a lot to keep up with. I know I'm not the one playing the sports. I'm not the one that is running up and down the court or skating all over the place like a madman. But goodness, I'm tired keeping up with everything, but that's good. It's a good problem to have, and I wouldn't trade it for the world this August of 2020. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So we'll start at the end, and we'll work our way back through the hours on Thursday, because both hoops and hockey started around lunchtime, regardless of what time zone you're in. If you needed some drama to go with your lunch, maybe your lunch was boring, you wanted to spice it up a little bit, there was plenty available. And it's pretty cool that most of these games, not all of them, but most of the games we're seeing from the NBA bubble, from Edmonton and Toronto for the Stanley Cup, these are all on TV. You're able to find them if you're looking hard enough. So be creative with your remote control, even if you are working from home. Maybe working from home is more of a benefit in a month like this one. So let's start with the Portland Trail Blazers and the Brooklyn Nets. Last game going on in the bubble on this Thursday. And for Brooklyn, it's an opportunity to tune up, get ready for the playoffs. The Nets are already locked in as the 7th seed in the East, which is pretty amazing in and of itself, considering that they are going through this bubble with a roster that's only half of what they anticipated when the NBA decided it would restart in Orlando. Because of the virus, they had a mini outbreak on their roster because of injuries, because of guys opting out. This is a group that's had to come together under the leadership of Coach Jacques Vaughn without a whole lot of time together, essentially just the couple of weeks of ramping up and trying to get back into shape following the hibernation. So it's pretty impressive what the Nets have done. But not a lot of pressure on them, considering that they're already into the postseason and the games will start on Monday. We've got a bit of a schedule already from the NBA, which we will get to. For the Portland Trail Blazers, this was everything. And going back to Tuesday night, I think it was Tuesday night, my days all blend together. The hours all blend together. Damian Lillard had 60 points, 61 points, called this the most important game of their lives, referring to the battle against Brooklyn. Most important game of their lives. Because if they won, they had secured themselves a spot in that 8-9 play-in series. I don't like calling it a series. It's not really a series. It's a play-in tweak. No, it's a play-in dimension. I have no idea what to call it. It's the play-in option. It's so awkward. And the whole thing is awkward, but whatever. So Damian Lillard had said, this is the most important game of our lives. We control our own fate. If we beat Brooklyn, well, then we are golden. We are into the play-in. I don't know what to call it. I really don't. What would we call it, Chris? It's not a series because it doesn't need to be a series. The Blazers only need one win against Memphis to move into the actual playoffs. So what the hell do we call it?
A playoff wrinkle?
Ooh, a wrinkle. I like that. But it's a play-in wrinkle more than a playoff wrinkle. It's a play-in wrinkle. It's a wrinkle in time. So the Blazers needed to win the game against Brooklyn to reach the wrinkle. Perfect. They need to reach the wrinkle. Anyway, they appeared to be cruising along with really no problems. Damian Lillard locked in. CJ McCollum playing with a broken back. I mean, what else could you possibly ask for? And then, get this, Jacques Vaughn goes to a box and one defense on Lillard. Okay, it's gimmicky, but if you gotta do it, well, then you gotta do it. He actually went to a box and one. And it didn't necessarily lock up Lillard, but it did keep him somewhat contained. So Lillard hits this huge three from whatever, Steph Curry range, half court, respect Dame, to start the fourth quarter. And then Jacques Vaughn changes his defense. And what happens? The Nets go on a big run. And they're able to make this a back and forth affair in the late stages of the fourth quarter. And it was extremely entertaining. I mean, it was the intensity of playoffs. It was the type of action that we have waited months to see.
McCollum up top for the Blazers. Eight to shoot. Top of the arc. One-on-one with Harris. Steps right. Top of the key. Jumper is good. Big bucket for CJ McCollum. Trying to keep the Blazers alive with 53.4 seconds to go. It's Portland 134 and the Nets 130. The Blazers' season in the balance. LeVert with the ball in his hands. Down to 5 seconds to go. LeVert moving right. Now left. Step back. 20-footer. No good. And the buzzer sounds. The Blazers hang on. They are going to the playoffs with a 134-133 victory over the Nets.
Pretty amazing. And it was back and forth. The Nets had the lead. Then the Blazers had the lead. Even though Damian Lillard finished with 12 in the fourth quarter, Portland barely survives. 134-133 the final. That's the Nets call with Chris Carino on their radio network. And if you listen carefully at the end, even as he's going through the mini wrap-up there, you can hear the Blazers celebrating. So as much as there is pumped-in crowd noise, the Nets network had it turned down relatively low, so you could actually hear the players exulting. And it was pretty cool, too. If you haven't seen the celebration as that last jumper falls shy, it's fun to see. It's why we love sports. The thrill of victory, sometimes the agony of defeat, but that adrenaline rush that these guys get and how hard they've worked to this point. So Portland is now 6-2 in the bubble. They wrap up their seeding games. Lillard with another 42 points. And so as I said recently, last show, the show before, he put his money where his mouth is. He said, I'm not going to Orlando. We're not going to Orlando. Don't send us to Orlando if we don't have a chance to play for the postseason. This wasn't a typical finish to the regular season, but Portland took advantage of these eight seeding games. And they've earned not only a spot in the play-in wrinkle, but they've earned the chance to be the team with the advantage. So Portland only has to win one of these two potential play-in games. They either have to win Saturday at 2:30 Eastern time, so 2:30 Orlando time. That's 11:30 a.m. Portland time, Blazers fans. Or they have to win Sunday afternoon. That's all they need. Just one of those games. And they will move ahead to take on the Lakers in the opening round of the Western Conference playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Grizzlies would have to win both. So it's Memphis who knocks off the Bucks on Thursday. And I know the Bucks are not playing with a full complement of guys. Either way, for the Grizzlies to be able to get a pair of triple-doubles, Jonas Valanciunas and Ja Morant with triple-doubles on Thursday. And as bad as the bubble has been for Memphis, they at least get a spot in that wrinkle. I'm just going to go with it, Chris. We're going with the wrinkle. So the Grizzlies have to win both Saturday and Sunday. Portland only has to win one of those games right now, sitting in the eighth spot. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So excited to see Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum with his broken back and Yusuf Nurkic and these guys who are locked in, motivated. They've been intense. This is the kind of basketball that you hope for in April and May, and we're getting it in August. But better late than never, baby. And consider what Lillard has done. This is nuts. And yet amazing to be able to watch. 42 points today. 61 points on Tuesday. 51 points on Sunday. He only had 22 against the Clippers. But remember, he missed a couple free throws at the end of that game. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George grinning at his expense. And he has been on fire since then.
Men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't.
No, not at all. This is the type of Damian Lillard that is built for the playoff stage, which is amazing. Unfortunately, we don't get to see the red-hot Phoenix Suns moving ahead in the bubble. This is despite the fact that Phoenix won every single game it played in Orlando, 8-0. Another 27 for Devin Booker, but because they weren't high enough in the standings going in, they didn't quite control their own fate, and they needed Portland to lose. It didn't happen, but I want you to hear what Monty Williams had to say to them. Now, keep in mind, this is after they win their game against Dallas, but it's before the Portland outcome, so they don't yet know if they're going to be in that wrinkle. They just know they still have a chance if Portland loses.
It's just been an unreal ride, right? And we got to go back to the hotel and see what happens. But I want you guys to know this before that happens. Like, this was therapeutic for me to be around a group like this. I got to tell you guys, man, I love you. I do. I don't care what happens tonight. I know what I got in this room. And it has been cool for me to be with y'all every day, to watch you guys work and battle and gain the respect of your peers the way you have on this trip. We're not the sons of old. You've been through a lot. You've been through a lot. It's hard to play the way you play every single night and not get the respect that you deserve. Guess what? You got it. Okay? So I don't care what happens. God knows I hope we get a chance to keep shocking the world, because that's what you did. Nobody believed we'd come here and go 8-0 and beat the teams we beat. But just know, man, this is special. Okay? I want you guys to know that. I don't care what happens, right? This is special. Don't let anybody take this away from you. You gained the respect of the league. Okay, now we got to build on it. We may get to build on it this weekend, or it may happen in the summer. We don't control it, okay? We got to get to the point where we control it. Understand that? You guys understand that? You want to be the kind of team that controls your own destiny, okay? That's our next step, all right? Love you guys. Bring it in. Family on three. One, two, three. Family.
And so it's disappointing that we won't see the Suns moving forward, because they're as hot as can be. Monty Williams with an impassioned locker room speech to his guys. I love you guys no matter what happens. Of course, we'd love to keep playing, but if we don't, we still have a foundation now that we can build on. And I also appreciate that he said, as a man, this has been therapeutic for me. 2020's been hard for a lot of reasons for a lot of people, pretty much every person in some way, shape, or form. But he told his team, coming back and playing these games has been therapeutic for me. So I thought that vulnerability was really cool, too, to hear from your coach and from your leader. So it won't be Phoenix moving forward in the bubble, and it also won't be San Antonio. Not sure if you know this, but our first nerd alert on this edition of the show. San Antonio Spurs fall short of the NBA playoff bracket. They do not advance to the postseason for the first time in 22 years. And so the last time the Spurs did not make the playoffs, 1997. That was also the year they drafted Tim Duncan. N-E-R-D-A-L-E-R-T. Hashtag nerd alert. So it's different not to have the Spurs in the playoffs. But I also know they're going to be back. It was a good young group. They've had a lot of changes, a lot of transition over the last couple of years. Typical Greg Popovich refused to talk about it. I mean, he gave a 5-second answer about how he did not want to talk about it and doesn't care if they just saw their streak of playoff seasons end. He also said something along the lines of, who can even remember who won the title 4 years ago? So anyway, a very exciting day inside the NBA bubble as well in Toronto and Edmonton. So as we head through this edition of the show, what playoff series, whether it's hoops or hockey, are you most jazzed up about? Which one are you most excited about? If you need to give me two or three, great. But there's a lot of good stuff now in both hoops and hockey. Orlando, Toronto, Edmonton, they are locked in. They figured it out. There have been no virus scares. And we can enjoy the playoffs in August and September and even October. It's weird, but I love it. Thanks for joining us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
He drops it behind his own net. Trocheck is there. The puck's loose in the slot. Can the Canes get to it? Still comes loose. Trocheck asking for a hand pass. It's not given. Natchez has it. He's playing on. The Bruins stop. Now to Hamilton. He scores! Marty Natchez kept playing, and Dougie Hamilton finished, and the Canes take a 3-2 lead.
Taves on it for Chicago. Sends it out. Kubalik tips it to center. Vegas has the puck. McNabb ahead. Tipped across the line by Nick Cousins. Toward the left circle, and now toward the left corner. In front of shot! They score! Golden Knights in overtime! Riley Smith wins it for Vegas! 4-3 Golden Knights.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Another day, another couple dramatic finishes in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and this is only round one. In fact, it's only week one, and yet it's been pretty amazing. So the Golden Knights edge the Blackhawks in overtime. Not quite as easy, quote unquote, as what they had in the series opener. Remember, that was a 4-1 victory. But Riley Smith again in this game, coming up huge. You may remember he had two goals and an assist in the series opener. There he gets the goal that wins it in overtime and also has another assist. And so the Golden Knights are up 2-0 against Chicago. And if you think about it, they have had 23 goals so far in 5 games in their bubble in Edmonton, or their hub in Edmonton. As for the Hurricanes, they end up tying the series at one game apiece with the Boston Bruins. And this one, it was another one that went down to the wire, and the Hurricanes able to get a third period goal, as you heard on their radio network. And that was before the Vegas Golden Knights highlight. But the interesting part about this Carolina Bruins series is that there was no leading scorer for the Boston Bruins. They end up without David Pastrnak. And so there's a chance that he could play coming up on, I guess, their game 3. Not exactly sure what day that is. Saturday, maybe. He could end up playing in game 3. He's a game time decision. But it's really a void for them because he was their leading scorer, nearly 50 goals this season. Obviously brings a ton of the playoff experience, but the only thing we know is that he was unfit to play on Thursday. And so the Hurricanes get that late goal from Dougie Hamilton, and they edge the Bruins, and they even that series. And it's one of those deals where you're hoping kind of day to day. And even though they've had all of this time off, these teams, whether it be NBA, whether it be NHL, the fact is there's no real recovery time at all now that they're into this playoff format where they're really going every other day. So all that Bruce Cassidy would say is that Pastrnak was getting treatment and he was unfit to participate. They didn't think it was a long-term injury, but that he wasn't able to go, and now he's day to day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. So we've got hoops, we've got hockey, we've got Major League Baseball, and after the break, some fantastic audio. You know that we're in the business of audio, and Major League Baseball provided some good stuff. Well, not the league officially, but Zach Plesac takes to Instagram to defend himself and blame the media for what happened in Chicago. Now, even before the media got wind of this, baseball sent him home. Said, you're out of here tonight. And he was on a train, if I'm not mistaken, to get home to Cleveland in quarantine for multiple days. Mike Clevenger was with him, didn't get found out until after they were back in Cleveland. He had traveled on the team plane. And while I understand that he feels like he's under fire and that ultimately nothing has happened in terms of the virus and the roster, it could have, which is what baseball is trying to prevent. Another Cardinals situation, another Marlins situation. The Cardinals will be more than 2 weeks without playing games, for heaven's sakes. And as much as Plesac believed that it was safe, the fact is the protocols that baseball has put in place are supposed to keep them way back from the line. Wherever the line is, you don't want players going right up to the line and putting their toe on the line and, oh, I'm not crossing the line. Because the virus is obviously unpredictable and it's not something you can see. It's not something you can control. And yet, Plesac railing against the machine, raging against the machine. He's mad because he feels like he's been turned into this villain. I mean, the media will move on eventually, but come on, man. You don't really, have a leg to stand on. You're the one that went out and put your teammates at risk. Because if he hadn't have gotten flagged by baseball security personnel, he would have been on that team playing too. Everybody else is doing what they're supposed to be doing. Why are you special? So, sounds like whining to me. And speaking of whining, that's what Joe Kelly believed Carlos Correa was doing when he was making faces. Oh, so we've got some good stuff. Joe Kelly on his teammates podcast, and then Zach Plesac taking to his own Instagram. Sometimes you just have to let it go. Take your lumps. And so you'll hear that straight ahead on After Hours. But I'd love to hear from you. Which is the NBA or NHL playoff series that you're most jazzed up about? So you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. It's been great drama so far. I don't know that we could ask for much more. If we can't have home courts and fans in the stands, this is the next best thing. And it's been good, in my opinion.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Swing and a miss. Got him on the curveball downstairs. And Kelly gets his man. Astros dugout has something to say to Kelly as he walks back to the Dodger dugout. Kelly turning his head to return fire. As Correa also has something to say to Joe Kelly. And now both dugouts empty as the umpires are trying to keep everyone socially distant.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the Astros Radio Network in late July, July 27th, as a matter of fact, we spent a lot of time talking about it here on the show when it happened. First meeting between the Dodgers and the Astros since the 2017 World Series, and it took place in Houston with no fans. It could have sounded decidedly different, but as you heard on that piece of audio, there was jawing back and forth, and there was a benches-clearing conversation. Ultimately, Major League Baseball fined Dusty Baker and suspended Dave Roberts one game for not keeping their dugouts under control. But Joe Kelly got the worst of it. Originally, an 8-game suspension, later reduced to 5, and we talked about this on last night's show. Chris Young is the new VP of baseball operations. He took over for Joe Torre. Think about Young's perspective. A former pitcher who retired after the 17 season. Oh, do you know what team he was playing for? The Royals. Do you know what division or what league they're in? They're in the American League as well. And so he very well could have fallen victim to some of the sign-stealing schemes of the Houston Astros in 17. So I'm thinking maybe Joe Kelly had an empathetic ear. And honestly, I think Joe Kelly has an empathetic and sympathetic ear as he shares his side of the story with teammate Ross Stripling on the Big Swing podcast. This is fascinating audio, and the podcast was just released in the last 24 hours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Now that we've seen a sampling of the Stanley Cup playoff series, and we know the NBA bracket is set, what we don't know is the Lakers' opponent, but it will be either Memphis or Portland. I feel like Portland will give the Lakers a run for their money, and I desperately want to see Dame back on the postseason stage again. So I'm rooting for Portland in that one. Though it would be great for Ja Morant as well, but I feel like Portland would give the Lakers a better run for their money and potentially could pull the upset in a 7-game series. And so we know that in the West, it's the Lakers against either Portland or Memphis. We know that in the West, we also have Houston and Oklahoma City, Dallas against the Clippers, and then Utah and Denver. Excuse me. And we talked about the East matchups with Sean Grandy when he joined us on our last show. Those begin Monday and Tuesday. So between hoops and hockey, what's the series that you're most looking forward to, you're most excited about? 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, and it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico can already save you when you switch. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, back to Joe Kelly. We put this video up on our social media, and in my opinion, this is one of the funniest things I've seen in 2020. Joe Kelly channeling his inner 10-year-old, where he sticks out his lower lip and makes a mush at Carlos Correa, who's mad that he just struck out, and he taunts him by making a bunch of whiny faces. Well, that is absolutely something that Joe Kelly talked about on the Big Swing podcast.
When Carlos is chirping back at me, the boo-hoo face felt right because it just sounded like he was complaining. So I just was like, oh, boo-hoo, like, ugh. So for me, it just sounded like a bunch of whining, and now I know exactly what my wife feels like. So I'm going to stop whining because I didn't like the whining, and now I know she doesn't like the whining. So that just felt right in the moment. It's just spur of the moment. It's not like a game plan for that kind of thing. It's a reaction. It was my interpretation of him acting like a child at that point. So I wanted to give him a little child's face.
See what I mean? Channeling his inner 10-year-old, a boo-hoo face. It's funny. I've laughed every time I've seen it, and I've watched it over and over. He says he did not throw intentionally at Alex Bregman or Carlos Correa, but that when he struck out Correa on that curveball, the breaking ball that was ultimately the strike three pitch, that Correa started jawing at him. And Dusty Baker claims that Joe Kelly called Correa the B word, and off they went from there.
Oh, boo-hoo, like, ugh.
You can tell he still feels the same way, right? I don't think there's any remorse at all, and why should there be? He got his suspension reduced to 5 games. Now, he's not thrilled about the suspension, and he gets to that coming up. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, Joe Kelly wasn't with the Dodgers in 17, so many people have brought that up. Why are you taking up the cause of a team that you didn't even play for in 17? Well, he tells you why. Because he believes that former Boston manager Alex Cora was made the fall guy, and that the Astros are the ones who were cheating, but it was Alex Cora who paid the price.
My personal friend and a guy who I passionately love was a fall guy.
Yeah.
If I'm on the Twins, I'm mad that they cheated, but I could get over that because they know they cheated. Everyone knows they cheated. It's fine. That's completely fine. It's not fine to do it, but it's fine that we already know what happened. What's not fine is, like I said, is ruining someone's life to make yourself look better. That ain't fine. You get immunity and then you rat like a little bitch. That's the problem I have. And I don't think that's right. So the immunity works that way. You get to say whatever the f*** you want. You get to blast people. You can make stuff up. You don't have to make stuff up. You tell the truth. And then the people that take the fall are the people that deserve to take the fall. So right in that case, I want immunity right now so I could get my 0 games.
Again, Joe Kelly getting his suspension reduced from 8 games down to 5. But as he tells Ross Stripling on the Big Swing podcast, his anger stems from the way that Alex Cora was turned into the scapegoat. Now, you may remember going back to baseball's investigation, Cora was named the ringleader. In the final report, Alex Cora, along with Carlos Beltran, who at the time had taken over as the Mets manager for all of, what was it, 2 months?
Oh, boo-hoo. Like, ugh.
How am I supposed to be serious when you're doing this? Actually, I don't even care about being serious. This is so good. No doubt Joe Kelly is coming back for the Hall of Fame induction as well. So Cora was let go by the Red Sox. And Joe Kelly insists that Cora and AJ Hinch, Carlos Beltran, although Beltran was a player with the Astros in 17, that they should not have taken the fall. And that it's actually the Astros who are snitches because they blamed everything on Cora. Interestingly enough, the Astros just went after Mike Fiers' team, the Oakland A's. Now, again, you can believe them if you like that they weren't throwing at Laureano intentionally. Okay. Well, if they weren't throwing at the A's intentionally, Joe Kelly wasn't throwing at the Astros intentionally. That's how it works. Super easy. Deny, deny, deny. So Kelly claims that's why he's so ticked off. That his manager, his former manager in Cora, a guy that he loves, has a great relationship with, took the fall. Even though it was the Astros themselves who were stealing signs and banging on trash cans. And ultimately, they got off scot-free. He's still on the side of the Dodgers, even though he wasn't there in 2017.
I don't talk to those guys, and I don't want to talk to those guys because they're not respectable men to me. What Correa said to Belly, Belly had all the facts. You don't tell my teammate to shut the f*** up and then spit at us during a pandemic. That ain't right. That ain't right. He's not looking out for the health of anybody doing that. He's going to get his own teammates sick doing that if he had the corona. Like, he'd get us sick. Like, that's just not right. So, like, I will always not respect them in that way.
Maybe we'll find the audio. It takes a minute, so we'd have to go back and find it in our archives. But you may remember the exchanges in February, right? As they were getting to spring training, where Cody Bellinger is pointing at the Astros and saying they don't deserve that 2017 World Series. It's a fraud. They cheated. We all know they cheated. Then he goes on this rant about Jose Altuve and whether or not Altuve was wearing a buzzer. Of course he was wearing a buzzer. Who doesn't let his teammates rip his jersey off? And he goes into the tunnel and he puts on a different jersey and yada, yada, yada. And so Bellinger was taking aim at the Astros going back to the springtime, early springtime. And then Correa, again, they want us to believe they're sorry. Correa pipes up with shut the bleep up at Cody Bellinger. And that's what Joe Kelly is referring to. And so it's back and forth. But Kelly feels like he's got not just one leg to stand on, but two. First of all, he's defending the honor of Alex Cora, who he says has had to flee to Puerto Rico with his family. And he's still getting crap for it. Just as a side note, I honestly feel like this couldn't have worked out any better for Alex Cora or AJ Hinch because there's this shortened season where most people aren't playing in 2020, or if they are, it's a shortened season.
If I get the Rona on top of that,
No one asked you, Blake Snell. And so he's mad about Alex Cora, not Snell, Joe Kelly. And I feel like this is a soap opera. And Kelly is also mad about the fact that Correa was going after Bellinger and telling him to shut up when it was the Astros who were doing the cheating. So it's delicious, if you ask me. It's a delicious soap opera.
Oh, boo-hoo. Like, ugh.
Oh, my gosh. This is fantastic. Joe Kelly is so good for baseball. You may think that the 2020 season is a waste of time, but I say it gives us Joe Kelly, and I'm all about it. It's classic. He's not backing down, and he doesn't need to now because his suspension's been reduced to 5 games. And he's not thrilled about the fact that it was still 5 games, and he's actually on the IL, which gives him more time to talk or whine. Like, I'm not whining anymore. Now I know how my wife feels. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, quickly, let's get to Zach Plesac. So the Cleveland Indians pitcher sent home from Chicago after he left the team hotel, broke curfew. He's actually feeling very shunned and very vilified. And so he takes to Instagram to fight back.
The media really is terrible, man. The media is terrible, and they do evil things to create stories and to make things sound better, makes things sound worse. And truthfully, I'm disgusted the way the media has handled this whole situation surrounding our team. Yeah, out in Chicago, we played the White Sox in a day or a couple days prior to leaving for this trip. The MLB came up with these new protocols that required a curfew and some other things that would keep us more isolated as baseball players and contain us more in like a bubble type sense. And after my start, I went out to dinner with some buddies. We ended up going back to his place, same group that we went to dinner with, and we opened up baseball cards, picked our top two dudes from each pack. We're throwing bets down, you know, just having a good time, hanging out. We broke curfew. I came back late, and I was reported by MLB security being out in public and coming back late to curfew, and the president of baseball operations decided to quarantine me for 3 days so that just in case, you know, if I was exposed to COVID, then it wouldn't spread to the rest of the team. 10 people or less is considered a very safe gathering, especially if you're 6 feet apart. And that entire night, dinner and hanging out at buddy's place after, we were not with more than 8 people the entire night.
Oh, boo-hoo. Like, ugh.
Exactly. Zach Plesac, you already apologized and said that you would make it up to your teammates. Your teammates are ticked off at you because you lied to them and they can't trust you. But you feel like it's a good idea to take to Instagram for 6.5 minutes and blame the media? Come on, man. Just shut it. There's no need to say anything else except for I'm sorry and I screwed up. Maybe it was a safe situation. Thankfully, it doesn't appear as though you or Clevinger brought the virus back to your team. But you broke curfew, you snuck in, you lied about it, and you've got to make that up to your teammates. This doesn't help your cause. Although, Joe Kelly whining doesn't help your cause either, so, you know. Good stuff. Sometimes I love working in radio just for the sheer deliciousness of the audio that we get. All right, coming up next, Joshua Perry, former Ohio State linebacker and national champion, will join us to talk about college football this week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.